Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx. That was a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941. And a lot of what we do as mystery performers today can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable. Spoiler alert, the answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue 21 today, which contains editorial and trivia by Theodore Animan, Notes of the Notables by Theodore Animan, The Oddly Walsh Coincidence by Oddly Walsh, Prophecy Plus by L. Vosburgh Lyons, Triple Coercion by Theodore Animan, Money Mentalism by Charles Rosenthal, The Spectral Seamstress by Charles T. Jordan, and Think It Over by Theodore Animan. The editorial in issue number 21 opens with an obituary. Henry Welsh Miller passed away at the age of 72, and Animan notes that the younger generation won't know the name, but the older hands will remember when Miller was at the top of coin manipulation. Foreign cities especially made much of him, and that even at 72, few could duplicate some of his palms and sleights. From there, the editorial scatters into a long stream of trivia, observations, and dispatches, which was Animan's mode when he had too much to say and not enough of it fit into a formal structure. A few highlights. David Embury of New York is quietly doing something Animan finds worth sharing. He keeps a brief for each of his routines, one page describing what the audience sees, one page of requirements and preparation, one page of working instructions. That gives him tested routines ready to go without effort or rethought. Wow, it sounds like Embury probably would have liked using Headliner to track all of those things. Too bad that MysteryCreators.com didn't sponsor this episode, otherwise they could tell everyone how helpful Headliner is. Maybe next time. The candy ice cream cone from Otis Manning's issue number 16 effect has become unavailable. The company that made them is out of business, and Manning supplies a substitute, a real cone with rubber ice cream from the S.S. Adams Novelty Company. As an afterthought during the performance, the ice cream gets pocketed to save for my little brother. Animan calls it a funny bit. The trivia section that follows is rapid fire. The Jinx issue number 2 is out of print. A New York mind reader billed as Mogul may have gotten his featured test from the back page of Jinx issue number 6. Howard Thurston has died and Jane Thurston will take control of the show. Harlan Tarbell is showing letters from SAM Assemblies congratulating him on the Woolworth cutout book, while simultaneously facing preferred charges from the SAM for the same material. Harry Dreilinger does the vest turning trick, but turns his trousers inside out with his ankles tied. Animan adds an aside about how many magicians' wives have apparently managed the same feat under different circumstances. And then there's a list of visitors to the Jinx headquarters that month. L. Vosburgh Lyons, Dr. Jacob Daly, Judson Cole, Keith Clark, Di Vernon, Al Baker, Dr. Gordon Peck, and Mike the Educated Rooster. Notes of the Notables is in this issue. That's newspaper clippings of the day. Head over to JinxNavigator.com to see what was going on back then. The Oddly Walsh coincidence is from Oddly Walsh, and it's a two-phase card routine for clever table work that Walsh suggests is best followed with a deck in hand. In the first phase, the performer genuinely shuffles a borrowed deck and fans it out. Four people each freely pull a card partway out. The performer closes the fan with those cards protruding, and the cards are apparently shifted to the bottom of the deck. A helper takes the deck, deals the four bottom cards face down in a row on the table, and is then asked to search the deck for the four aces. They're gone, and there they are on the table face down. That's the coincidence part. Then the second phase. The performer takes the deck back, and each ace is handed over one at a time to be inserted at a different spot. A shuffle or two and four hands of poker are dealt. The aces come out together in one hand. The whole routine plays as two separate surprises with a single clean setup. Walsh notes that making it clear at the start that the selections are free, that all four different cards are needed to show a strange coincidence, keeps the first revelation completely unexpected. Full details on this are at JinxNavigator.com. This one is from Dr. L. Vosburgh Lyons, Prophecy Plus, and it's a combination effect that links two separate predictions into one clean presentation. Two predictions are written on cards and sealed in envelopes before anything happens. Each envelope goes to a different helper to pocket. From three different colored handkerchiefs, somebody freely chooses one. A second helper takes three colored candles, mixes them inside a cloth bag, and loads one into a sealed metal tube without seeing which color goes in. So even they don't know what they chose. The first envelope is opened in red. It correctly names the chosen handkerchief color. The second is opened in red. It names the candle color. The tube is opened and the correct candle drops out. The method involves a change bag for the silk selection and a weighted metal tube that can be identified by feel. The prediction for the candle is written last after the tube has already been identified. Lion's construction is such that everything happens in a natural sequence with no awkward pauses. Full details on this at jinxnavigator.com. This one, Triple Coercion, is from Animan, and he opens with a characteristic disclaimer. The idea of writing three predictions before any choices are made goes back to the early 20s, and he gave his own version in the book without a name. What he's offering here is what he considers the cleanest possible handling. A card is written on and sealed in a small envelope, which is placed in plain view for the entire performance. Three helpers make selections, a color is named, a playing card thought of, and a number between 1 and 100 freely named. A helper opens the envelope and reads the prediction, and it correctly names all three. The trick that makes this work is the timing. The number is collected last, and there's a quiet moment just before the envelope is torn open where the final piece of information... Well, I'm not going to go over the method here, but many of you will probably know where I was heading with that. Animan notes that people consistently go away believing all three items were merely thought of, and that the envelope was sitting untouched the entire time. Full details at jinxnavigator.com, and this one sounds like the kind of thing that could really get people talking. Now, two of my favorite things put together, money and mentalism. This one is from Charles Rosenthal, and it's a two-person clairvoyance piece built around the one thing that audiences universally pay attention to, money. The psychic leaves the room. Someone donates a coin or bill, their choice of denomination. It goes into an ordinary letter envelope. A spring clamp is attached to the envelope with a cord, and the cord's owner holds it while the performer steps away. The psychic returns and correctly names the denomination. So, yes, there's a code, and it's entirely in the position of the clamp. You end up with eight distinct positions for the eight most common denominations, and then anything larger than a $5 bill gets handled with a different physical arrangement outside the envelope entirely. Animan adds an editorial note suggesting an extension for coin work. After the first revelation, the psychic leaves again, the coin is switched for a duplicate, and on the return, the date on the coin is also named. The psychic has a list of dates for each planted coin, and the switch happens invisibly during the moment the envelope is opened. Full details are at jinxnavigator.com, but just a quick addition, if you're going to switch the coin anyway, make all of your duplicates from the same year. That way you've got one less thing for your psychic to think about. This next one is from Charles T. Jordan, The Spectral Seamstress, and it's a platform effect with a presentation hook that's hard to beat. A name appears to sew itself in colored thread across a handkerchief. Three different colored spools of thread are on display, and a helper freely chooses one. You take a plain, unprepared handkerchief, examined and shown freely, and you wind it around the chosen spool. That gets hung on a rope and goes into a paper bag with the end of the rope hanging out. A celebrity name is selected, at random, by the audience. The bag is taken back, and when the rope is pulled, the spool and handkerchief come out, and the thread around the spool has vanished. When the handkerchief is unrolled, the chosen name is seen sewn across it in the color of the thread that was on the selected spool. Jordan offers another variation. At a certain point, appear to reconsider and pull the spool back out of the bag, then lower the spool and handkerchief into a clear glass tumbler in plain sight for the rest of the effect. The name still appears. Full details on this are at jinxnavigator.com. Ted Animan's Think It Over column returns for issue number 21, and this one has a longer run of items than usual. Practical advice covering everything from stage manners to rabbit handling. A few things worth pulling out on laughter in magic. The best comedy comes from the situation, not at the expense of a helper. Put someone in their place if they're being difficult, but nobody in the audience should be made to feel stupid. On contracts, always get one in writing, no matter how friendly the arrangement seems. Animan is very blunt about this. On assistants, try to reduce dependence on them. The best of them are unreliable at critical moments. It sounds like there's a story behind that. A quote he attributes to a well-known magician deserves to be repeated. When asked how many tricks he knew, the answer was, I only know 5 tricks, and I'm trying to learn to do those well. On slights versus subterfuge, learn to do the slight properly. One is certain, the other is not. On billiard balls, if you can produce 4 very well, producing 8 or 12 gains you nothing from the audience perspective and is apt to grow tiresome. On the rising card trick, so many production methods exist that the audiences have started to forget the real point, that the performer somehow knew which cards were selected. That's the part that's been neglected. You can find the details on these and even more at jinxnavigator.com. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It is completely, absolutely free. Use the contact form on that site. Let me know what you think of the podcast, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 22, which includes Numero? Anyway, it's by Al Baker. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.